Easy to prophesy and a to connect. Easy to prophesy and a to connect. Easy to prophesy and a to connect. It's easy to connect those dry bones. The toe bones connect to the heel bone. The heel bones connect to the foot bone. The foot bones connect to the ankle bone. It's easy to connect those dry bones. Easy to prophesy and a to connect.
Greetings to all of you, our ghoulish and giddy listeners. As has become our custom, we're settling into the autumn atmosphere of October with a series of chilling stories taken from literature and folklore to help set the mood for your potion brewing, bat taming, and broom flying. Our theme this year is Return of the Living Dead, but you won't find zombie stories here. Instead, ghosts, or more often reanimated bodies, return to share their afterlives with the still living. Sometimes the stories show how good life with the dead can be. Sometimes they just show how close the dead are, always. And sometimes they show what happens when someone isn't prepared to deal with the dead coming back to life. In all cases, we hope these stories delight and entertain you, and add a little bit of the macabre to your Hallows celebrations. At the end of the month, we'll be lingering in the cemetery with the dead as we share some of our listeners' stories of cemetery lore and legends, so make sure to tune in for that too. The last of our stories is a tale from Chinese folklore. In this one, the main character's relationship with a revenant shows just how good being a friend to the dead can be, especially if you're respectful and bring wine. We hope you like it. Drinking Companions, a tale from China. A fisherman named Su made his home outside the north gate of Zhu, a township in present-day Shantung. Every night, he took along some wine to the riverside to drink while he fished. And each time, he poured a little offering on the ground so that the spirits of those who have drowned in the river may have some wine too. When the other fishermen had caught nothing, Su usually went home with a basketful. One evening, as Su was tippling by himself, a young man approached him and paced back and forth. Su offered him a drink, and grandly shared his wine jar. It was a disappointing night, however, for he failed to catch a single fish. "Let me go downstream and drive them up for you," said the young man, who rose and departed in a manner that seemed to be airborne. He returned shortly and said, "A number of fish will be arriving." And indeed, Su could hear a chorus of splashing as the approaching fish struck at insects. He took up his net and got several, each a foot long. Delighted, Su thanked the young man and started home. Then he turned to offer his benefactor some fish, but the young man declined, saying, "I have often enjoyed your delicious brew. For my trifling assistance, it's not worth speaking of reciprocity. In fact, if you wouldn't refuse my company, I'd like to make a custom of it." "We have spent only an evening together," answered Su. "What do you mean by often enjoyed?" "Oh, but it would be a pleasure if you kept visiting me, though I'm afraid I don't have anything to repay your kindness." Then he asked the young man his name. "I am Wang," was the reply, "but I have no given name. You could call me Liu Long, or Sixth Born, when we meet." And thus they parted. The next day, Su sold his fish and bought more wine. In the evening, the young man was already there when Su arrived at the riverbank, so they had the pleasure of drinking together again. And again, after several rounds, the young man suddenly whisked away to drive the fish for Su. Things went on agreeably like this for half a year, when out of the blue, Liu Long announced to Su, "Ever since I had the honor of your acquaintance, we have been closer than the closest kin, but the day of parting has come." His voice was filled with sadness. Sue was surprised and asked why. The young man started to speak and then stopped several times until, at last, he said, "Close as we are, the reason may shock you. But now that we are to part, there's no harm in telling you the plain truth. I am a ghost, one with a weakness for wine. I died by drowning when I was drunk, and I have been here for several years. The reason you always caught more fish than anyone else is that I was secretly driving them toward you in thanks for your libations. But tomorrow my term of karma ends, and a replacement for me will be coming. I am to be reborn into another life on Earth. This evening is all that remains for us to share, and it is hard not to feel sad." Sue was frightened at first, but they had been close friends for so long that his fear abated. He sighed deeply over the news, poured a drink, and said, "Lulong, drink this up and don't despair. If our ways must part, that's reason enough for regret, but if your karmic lot is fulfilled and your term of suffering relieved, that's cause for congratulations, not sorrow." And together they shared a deep swig of wine. "Who will replace you?" asked Sue. "You'll see from the riverbank. At high noon a woman will drown as she crosses the river. That will be the one." As the roosters in the hamlet called forth at the dawn, the two drinkers parted, shedding tears. The next day Sue watched expectantly from the edge of the river. A woman came carrying a baby in her arms. As she reached the river, she fell. She tossed the child ashore, then began crying and flailing her hands and feet. She surfaced and sank several times until she pulled herself out, streaming water. Then she rested a little while, took her child in her arms, and left. When the woman was sinking, Sue could not bear it and wished he could rush to her rescue. He held back only because he remembered that she was to replace Lulong. But when the woman got herself out, he began to doubt what Lulong had told him. At dusk, Sue went fishing in the usual spot. Again his friend came to him and said, "Now we're together again and need not speak of parting for the time being." When Sue asked why, Lulong replied, "The woman had already taken my place, but I had pity for the child in her arms. Two should not be lost for one, so I spared them. When I will be replaced is not known, and so it seems that the brotherhood between us shall continue." Sue sighed with a deep feeling. Such a humane heart should be seen by the highest of heaven. And so they had the pleasure of each other's company as before. Several days later, however, Lulong came to say goodbye again. Sue thought he had found another replacement, but Lulong said, "No, my compassionate thought for the drowning woman actually reached to heaven, and I have been rewarded with the position as a local deity in Wu Township of Chao Yuan County. I assume office tomorrow. Please remember our friendship and visit me. Don't worry about the length or difficulty of the journey." "What a comfort to have someone as upright as you for a deity," said Sue, offering his congratulations. "But no road connects men and gods. Even if the distance did not daunt me, how could I manage to go?" "Simply go. Don't think about it," replied the young man. After repeating the invitation, he left. Sue went home to put his things in order and set out at once, though his wife mocked him. "You're going hundreds of miles. Even if this place exists, I don't think you can hold a conversation with a clay idol," she sneered. Sue paid no attention. He started off and eventually arrived in Chaoyan County, where he learned that there really was a Wu township. On his way there, he stopped at a hostel and asked for directions to the temple. The host said with an air of pleasant surprise, "By any chance is our guest's surname Sue?" "Yes, how did you know?" The host left abruptly without making a reply. Presently, a mixed throng approached and circled Sue like a wall. Men carried their babies. Women peeped around their doors. The crowd announced to an amazed Sue, "Several nights ago, we had a dream in which our deity said that a friend named Sue would be coming, and that we should help him out with his traveling expenses. We have been respectfully waiting for you." Marveling at this reception, Sue went to sacrifice at the temple. "Since we parted," he prayed, "my thoughts have dwelled on you night and day. I have come far to keep our agreement, and I am both favored and deeply moved by the sign you gave to the local people. But I am embarrassed to have come without a fitting gift. All I brought was this flask of wine. If it's acceptable, let us drink as we used to on the riverbank." His prayer done, Sue burned some paper money. Shortly he saw a wind arise behind the shrine. The smoke swirled around for a time and then disappeared. That night, Lulong, looking altogether different now that he was capped and garbed in finery, entered Sue's dreams. Expressing his appreciation, Lulong said, "For you to come so far to see me moves me to tears, but I'm unable to meet you directly because I hold such a trivial position. It saddens me to be so near to the living, and yet so far. The people here have some meager presents for you as a token of our past association. Whenever you are to return home, I shall see you off myself." Su remained in the Wu township a few more days before preparing to leave. The people of Wu tried to keep him longer, making earnest appeals and inviting him to day-long feasts with different hosts, but Su was set on returning home. The people outdid themselves in generosity, and before the morning passed, his bags were filled with gifts. The gray-haired and the young gathered to see him out of the village, and a whirlwind followed him for some 3 or 4 miles farther. Su bowed again and again. "Take care of yourself, Liu Lang," he said. "Don't bother coming so far. With your humane and loving heart, you can surely bring good fortune to this township without advice from old friends." The wind swirled around for a time, and then was gone. The villagers, exclaiming in wonder at these events, also went back to their homes. When Su arrived back in his own village, his family circumstances had improved so much that he did not return to fishing. Later he saw people from Chaoyan County who told him that the deity was working miracles and had become widely known. The recorder of strange things says, "To attain heights of ambition without forgetting the friends one made when poor and lowly, well, that is what made Wang Yulong a god." Nowadays, when do the high and noble in their carriages recognize those still wearing a bamboo hat? Thank you so much for joining us at our fireside as we share these tales. We hope you've enjoyed hearing them, and that you'll check out our show notes for information on where to find these and other frightful delights in print form. For now, thanks for listening. Happy Hallows, and be well.
Prophesy and a tukaneka, easy to prophesy and a tukaneka, easy to prophesy and a tukaneka. It's easy to connect those dry bones, the toe bones connected to the heel bones connected to the foot bones connected to the ankle bone. It's easy to connect those dry bones, easy to prophesy and a tukaneka, easy to prophesy and a tukaneka.